This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. Making people laugh is more than just jokes for comedians Mike Kaplan and Zach Sherwin. For Mike, comedy is a way to discuss some difficult topics. He's performed on late-night programs like David Letterman and was a finalist on the show Last Comic Standing. Zach Sherwin uses his love of rap music and sometimes history to get laughs as the writer and performer for Epic Rap Battles of History on YouTube. Two comedians are touring together this summer for the Tyrannosaurus Rex Tour. They're going to be performing at DSI Theater in Chapel Hill tonight at 8:30, but they're on our show now. Mike and Zach, welcome. Good to have you here.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks. It's great to be here.
It is one of Mike, tell us, you know, you're primarily a stand-up comedian.
Correct.
And Zach, you do a lot of rap. You've actually integrated rap into your...
Yeah, I got into rapping first and then comedy only came afterwards. So, yeah, I do a lot of rapping during my show, which sometimes crowds don't know, which is interesting.
You do funny rap now, the rap the rap history business.
He's saying, do funny rap now.
No. I don't want to go, all right, perform, jump. Hold up the hoop and watch the little doggy jump.
Listeners can't see that he's shooting a gun at my feet.
Was it funny to begin with? Did you think about rap as a serious business or were they always kind of satiric?
Well, I started rapping when I was like 10 years old and I had no self-awareness at the time and, you know, was growing up a little Jewish suburban kid and my raps were very thugged out like the music I was listening to. So, you know, there was an evolution since then.
It was funny.
Jewish kid from Missouri trying to do rap. That must have been hysterical, to be honest. You just didn't know. Mike, you do stand-up now. You are really have kind of cornered the nerd market.
Oh, that's very nice of you to say. It seems like it's both. I was like, oh, that's a very nice insult. Or a negative compliment. No, I mean, I'm just being myself. And I feel like there are some people who, like, when I've been doing comedy for the past, 6 years in New York and 6 years before that in Boston, there's some people who are, like, trying to break through and figure out, you know, who they are and how to connect with. And this guy's like, man, do I got to get, like, glasses like yours? Or what do I have to? I'm like, I need these to see. You know what I mean? Like, right, I'm just being myself. Right, and if it so happened that culture was, intersected with my life, you know, being a nerd growing up wasn't the most helpful. I'm glad to be able to get something out of it now.
Go ahead.
Oh, sure. I was just going to say that it's a pleasure as someone, Mike and I are good friends and we perform on the same shows often. And it's always a pleasure for me to see that Mike's stuff is very accessible. It's not just restricted to nerd audiences. People of all.
Oh, yeah. People come up to me after the show and they're like, man, I would have beat you up in high school, but now for whatever reason, I'm like, this is great. We're all growing.
You can be Facebook friends now.
Absolutely.
How wonderful. How did you guys meet?
We went to the same college.
Oh, wow.
And then we were both at Brandeis right outside of Boston and both started doing comedy, Zach with a sketch group at first and then his own solo rap comedy career. And I was doing stand-up all the meanwhile while I was in grad school there as well. And then we both, I loved his raps and comedy whenever I saw it. And then he was like, help me, please find a place to do them. Please help me. This is my impression of Zach. Help me. This is nothing like me. Help, stop it.
Rescued from yourself. Well, but what about that? The place now has changed, right? You don't have to be taking out the trash at the Comedy Store waiting for Leno to show up.
That's true.
So much that you can do online to get noticed, right?
Oh, yeah, Zach, obviously, Epic Rap Battles of History are, you know, they are not on television, they are not in movies, but they have over a billion views, maybe more, many billion, I don't even know, but just 80, there's millions, tens of millions of views on videos that Zach's been in alone, and this is all just on people's computers, so...
It's nuts. I mean, especially YouTube is the forum that I work, or the platform that I work in the most, but... Yeah, Epic Rap Battles, which I'm lucky enough to be part of the meteoric arc of, is just a crazy thing that the founders of it, Epic Lloyd and Nice Peter, just dreamed up and started doing.
And I would say that, I mean, while that is a thing that exists in the comedy landscape today, everything is all about doing the work. Like, there are certainly people who, you know, might get a viral video hit or become, you know, famous on Twitter before they've put in all the time and work that other people have. But over the course of, you know, a person's career or history, like, I think somebody like Bo Burnham is a person who at age 16 became a YouTube viral star, but now at age 22 or 23, whatever he is, he has continued to deliver, like, quality, like, genius content, not just content for, but, like, you know, beautiful, brilliant art. you know, nice, like, you know, really great sounding songs. It's like, he's, you know, he's not a flash in the pan, you know. So if somebody got one hit and they can't, that can't carry a career, it's all about putting in the time and effort and work, whether or not there's only Johnny Carson in the 80s to break you, or now, whether there's nothing that will break you except for, you know, time.
Well, that's what I mean. You, if you have a billion hits, are you a star, and or do you have to do something else to convert that to make a living?
Oh, you mean on like a dollars and cents basis?
Yeah, I guess so. To make a living, yeah.
A billion you could probably live off of.
Yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of numbers out there about how many YouTube views translate to however many dollars. But I'm not an owner of the Epic Rap Battles property. But I mean, the guys who are yeah, I mean, that's what they do for their jobs.
So learning, yeah. Well, and just to, we've been talking about epic rap battles of history, and so I think the most famous one, the one that got the most hits, definitely Albert Einstein and Stephen Hawking, do you think?
The one that I've been in that's gotten the most hits is that one. It's up there. I think the most popular one was Obama versus Romney, yeah, when that one came out, which is a great one.
Well, let's listen to the one that you were in, Einstein and Hawking. Let's get a little sample anyway.
Please.
But we can say having sex with a speak and spell. See,
I know,
that's
you
crazy.
Beep freaking.
We beep freaking.
It made it seem even more gangster.
It made it more gangster, even though the word was freaking. And yeah. But having sex with a speak and spell, we can say it a thousand
totally
times.
Totally fine.
Show. Sure. Let's do it. That was
ableist,
three.
An ableist comedy rap.
And none of us will sleep tonight just trying to imagine. So who won that battle, by the way?
I mean, the consensus is that Hawking won it, I have to say, according to the fans. But the nice thing is they don't give an official verdict, so you can just – it's your own thing.
It's like the lady or the tiger.
Yeah.
They should do one, lady versus tiger.
Oh, yeah. Good idea.
Tiger will win.
Mike, how do you guys work together on stage? You talked about knowing each other for a while, but together?
That's a really interesting question because we did this tour together last year, and if you said, how do you work together on stage, we would have said, we don't. But this is the first year that we've really – like, Zach, the way the shows will go is sometimes there'll be a local host or a comedian from the town that we're in who'd maybe help set up the shows. They'll go on and do a few minutes and then introduce our good friend Micah Sherman, who has been on about half of this tour with us. I play some music with him sometimes. He does some characters. He does some improv. He'll actually be doing an improv workshop at DSI Comedy Theater on Saturday for people who are interested in that.
11 a.m., I believe.
Yeah. Well, you can check out DSIComedyTheater.com. We're not here to talk about that. But so Micah will do some characters, then Zach will come on and do his set, which is sometimes mostly rapping, and then some stories and jokes, and then I'll come on and do my set, and then at the end of my set, I'll bring Micah back up, we'll play some songs, and then we'll actually do some freestyle rapping, all of us together, which is a thing that we've been practicing in the car for an hour a day every day of this trip.
Yeah, it's been a weird feature of this tour. I mean, I'm probably the most experienced rapper of the three of us, just in terms of hours logged.
It's kind of even for you to say probably. Definitely.
But I mean, Mike's been getting interested in, you know, improvisational rapping, and Mike has got some background in it as well as an improviser. So we've just been passing some of the road time by doing that. And we were having so much fun with it that we wanted to start doing it on stage. And now we've turned it into this, what feels to me like an extravaganza. Maybe it looks different from the audience's perspective, but we bring back everyone who's been on the show, all the comics who were on before us. Micah's back. Mike's there. I'm on. And we do this. It feels like a grand finale kind of blowout. And they've been sort of transcendent, I have to say.
And like, it started because we were in Louisville and there was only one other comic on the show. So bringing back everyone else was just one guy who was an amazing pop dancer. Like
he was a pop lock break dancer.
He was so he would do a thing. We'd be like, wow, check that out. And then we got to the next town and we asked the host, the other person on the show, can you dance really great like this other guy? And he's like, I could dance horribly. We're like, perfect.
Yeah, do that. Yeah, that's what we do here.
Yeah.
Can I just say the funniest picture has to be you three white guys, nerdy white guys, may I say, in a car. I would love to pull up next to you, while you're doing your rap. I'm just laughing all the way to work.
Absolutely.
I mean, we laugh a lot, so you see some of that. But yeah, there's some rap hands involved, definitely.
And Mike, also, I guess you bonded over your being a vegan, which
Oh, that's true. I think that was the first, our first friendship conversation that Zach and I had. Zach and I have both been vegan for about 12 years, Zach about 13 or 14.
Who's counting?
Yeah, both of us. We are both very obsessive about counting numbers, words, letters. Anyway, I became, so I guess that was, I liked Zach's brain and, you know, the comedy and the art that he creates, but it was also then even more so. It's like, you know, when you fall in love with somebody romantically, which is not what this is, Zach, everything's, I'm sorry, but.
nope, it's cool.
We both feel the same way. When you fall in love with somebody, you know, say you're attracted to them initially, and then you find out that they actually share some interests that you're like, oh, you actually think I'm funny and good looking too. Like, you know, all these things that exist. So it was sort of like that. I'm like, oh, wow. Like, we both like these word games and riddles and the same kind of jokes, and we both enjoy rap and rhymes. And also, like, that has nothing to do with being vegan. Like, it's completely unrelated. So it's just another nice, like, congealing, a nice coincidence.
It was sort of like, oh, yeah, we should be friends. Confirmed. My friend has a Rhodesian Ridgeback dog, you know, the ones that hunt lions in Africa. They're super cool dogs. And she takes it to the dog park, and it'll be happy to hang out with other dogs. But if another Rhodey shows up, it, like, beelines its way right over there. So, you know, vegan comedy rap fans.
We do not beeline, principle. Though, because that's an animal exploitation.
That's right.
We don't want to take the bee's thing, you know. We human line right over there. You know, meander a little bit.
You actually use this as part of a kind of a way to prompt discussions, too, veganism. I mean, the idea that it's some of us aren't, and, you know. Get your finger out of my chest.
What
I
do
want
you
an
mean
oboe
some of you aren't? Okay, yeah. No, I thought everyone.
Give me some meat.
Absolutely. I mean, certainly my goal as a comedian is to be funny. But also I feel like the job or goal of any, you know, any performer, creator, artist is to talk about some things that either are important to them, interest them, like things that you have experienced and, you know, write what you know. Obviously, there's tons of people who do things that are not necessarily personal. There's, you know, political. There's social. But my comedy, I just sort of write about whatever I feel like. It's not all about veganism. It's not all about politics or anti-racism, homophobic, social things. But when I think of something funny, I want to say it. And then often, like, my goal is, especially in a world where most people aren't vegan, I understand that. So if I come out and say, I'm vegan, and then I know what that does to the tenor of the attitude of the crowd. So I come at them sort of from the underneath, like, I'm vegan. I know everything's right. Of course. I get it. I know what you're thinking. And then I'll just try to, because I think my reasons behind it, whenever I have a reasonable discussion about my goal of not having animals exist in horrifyingly torturous conditions of factory farms, which doesn't have to exist in order for even you to eat me. Like, I think that a local, homegrown, organic, farmed situation is much more ethical and reasonable. And most people, when you have this conversation with them, they're like, yeah, of course that's true. That makes sense completely. But if you just say you're vegan, then a lot of people shut down. Mm-hmm. So I do like it to be not just a label, but the beginning of a discussion that I think humor does often help facilitate having.
We are talking to funny men Mike Kaplan and Zach Sherwin today on The State of Things. They're going to be at DSI Theater in Chapel Hill tonight at 8:30, but they're with me now talking about funny stuff. You, Mike, your latest album is called Small, Dork, and Handsome. You talk about some of the technicalities of time travel as well as veganism.
Absolutely.
These things are always generally talked about together, time travel.
Yeah, if we could just go back in time and make everybody vegan, then I wouldn't even need to do anything.
Well, you know somebody's going to say, we're eating meat, that's how we got here. But
you
don't want to get in that fight.
No, that person would eat me.
And say the cow they ate was a vegan at once, too. So if you're talking about time travel and these issues like, you know, conscious thought about eating, mm-hmm. what would you say about your audience?
Interesting question. I like my audience is what I'll say.
You have to know about it. In other words, conscious thought, time travel, these are more thoughtful people perhaps in your audience, do you imagine?
I honestly, I mean, certainly I think that any person can be a thoughtful person. So I don't want anything that I do to ever be exclusive or exclusionary. And that's not my aim is to talk about the things that interest me. And like the same way that not everybody likes the same genre of music or the same kind of music or the same bands, it doesn't, you know, invalidate like, you know, oh, this kind of music, you got to really know a little more. I mean, there is some jazz say that you have to know more about music to even appreciate why the sounds that they're making are being made. And that's fine. And I don't think that my comedy is, you know, that sort of avant-garde or abstract like that. Like, sometimes if I'm in front of, say, an older audience, I might not tell my joke about, you know, the Fast and Furious movies, or all if I'm in front of, you know, an old Jewish, you know, like, nursing home area or, like, my grandmother's friends, I probably wouldn't tell. Like, they didn't like my joke about even going back in time to kill Hitler as a concept. They just like, please don't talk about Hitler.
When you go to the nursing home, do you ever feel the urge to tell the same joke, like, twice, 5 minutes later? I was just thinking.
Yeah. I tell all my Alzheimer's material over and over.
I would just keep telling the same joke, see if it works. Zach, you said you started out as a rapper. What turned you to comedy? When did you start wanting to be funny?
Yeah, I started a sketch comedy group with some friends in college, and we did that, and we would just do these 2 to 3 minute long sketches where we would take one idea and heighten it and then bring it to a conclusion. And I had been rapping all along but had never really, excuse the cliche, found my voice for how to do it. And then it started because I ran a red light on my bike in Cambridge, Massachusetts, where I lived at the time, and I got pulled over and given a traffic ticket. And I was so incensed about it that I wrote a comedy rap called Bike Stop. And I wrote it, and I was like, oh, yeah, this is how I can rap. This is like the way that I can do it and not feel like a fraud.
And the nut of that was, hey, you don't stop. I'm a guy on a bike.
Yeah,
it was
right.
Like, you know, hip hop lingo.
Sure.
As a setup to this punchline.
Right. So, yeah. So I just kind of combined the format of the sketches I'd been doing with the raps I'd been doing. And voila. I was honestly surprised when I started doing it that I hadn't come up with it before.
They say that comedy is tragedy plus time, but it's actually rap plus sketch.
Right, exactly.
And you can see it all at DSI Theater tonight, Chapel Hill, 8:30, with comedians Mike Kaplan and Zach Sherwin. They're going to be there at DSI Theater. Thank you both for being on the program.
Thanks so much for having us.
It was great.
And thank you for listening to The State of Things. You can hear more about us and see more about us at our website, stateofthings.org. The State of Things is produced by Laura Lee, Anita Rao, Hadi Mawagdi, and Will Michaels. Our intern, Charlie Shelton. Charlie's leaving us. And yet another intern who's going off into the big wide world because somebody promised him money. He's leaving for money. I bring breakfast once a week. I make the coffee. I agreed to the whole segment, two segments that you produced that were beautiful. I said, great job, Charlie. And yet, because of filthy lucre, he's leaving us. Charlie, you've been great. Thank you so much. Please come back anytime. We never close. And we are The State of Things on North Carolina Public Radio. It's a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.